The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, third chapter, text number 38, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on May 5th, 1994, in Bombay, India.
Only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand, can know the Creator of the universe in his full glory, power, and transcendence. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Only the pure devotees can know the transcendental name, form, activities of Lord Krishna due to their being completely freed from the reactions of fruitive work and mental speculation. The pure devotees have nothing to derive as personal profit from their unalloyed service to the Lord. They render incessant service to the Lord spontaneously, without any reservation. Everyone within the creation of the Lord is rendering service to the Lord indirectly or directly. No one is an exception to this law of the Lord. Those who are rendering service indirectly, being forced by the illusory agent of the Lord, are rendering service to Him unfavorably. But those who are rendering service to Him directly, under the direction of His beloved agent, are rendering service unto Him favorably. Such favorable servitors are devotees of the Lord, and by the grace of the Lord, they can enter into the mysterious region of transcendence by the mercy of the Lord. Ateha dhanya bhagavanta itam yad vasudeve kila lokanate kurvanti sarvatmakam atma bhavam nayatra bhuya parivarta ugra. Only by making such inquiries in this world can one be successful and perfectly cognizant. For such inquiries invoke transcendental ecstatic love unto the personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of all the universes, and guarantees 100% immunity from the dreadful repetition of birth and death. In these two verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is being explained by Suta Goswami to the sages of Naimasharanya that to understand, to know, or to realize the Supreme Lord is the most difficult and the rarest thing in all of this material creation. Why is this? It is being explained that the absolute truth is above and beyond our mental or sensual capacity to approach. By any amount of sacrifices, by any amount of yajñas, by any degree by which we understand and memorize and learn the scriptures. By any amount or degree of austerity or tapasya, you cannot even approach the Supreme Lord. What to speak of realizing? And when we come to the path of bhakti, we are beginning the process by which we can approach the Supreme Lord. But as Krishna explains in Gita, bhakti mam abhijanati yavanyashta smitatvata mam cha yo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevati sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpata. Until our devotion is unmotivated by any selfish interest, it is uninterrupted by any possible condition of this world, we cannot understand or realize Krishna. Because to only such a devotee does Krishna reveal himself by his causeless mercy. And until that revelation takes place, there is no other way. In this age of Kali Yuga, it is explained that there is really only one sacrifice that can bring us closer to the realization of God. Kaler dosa nide rajan asti eka mahan guna kirtanar eva krishnasya mukta sangha param. The chanting of the holy name. In the age of Kali, yajnas, homas, various types of charitable work, they cannot bring us to the feet of God. To whatever degree, it's not possible. They can bring about an increase of piety in our life, by which we can reap material pleasures and prosperity, no doubt. If that's what we want, these yagas are helpful. And perhaps through various processes like this, Ashtanga yoga and so forth, we can develop some powers. Anima, lagima, mahima, prapti, vishitva, ishitva, prakramya, kama, vihakshita. These are the eight mystic cities. But we cannot approach God by any other means than purely and offenselessly chanting his holy name. And we cannot approach the holy name purely and offenselessly unless, as Prahlad Maharaj explains, Naisham Bhavad, what is that verse? That we must Mahiyasam Padarajobishekam. We must render service in great humility to the devotees. Prahlad Maharaj said, you must cover every inch of your body with the dust of the feet of the devotees. You must have abhishek. You must bathe your body, mind, and soul with the dust of the feet of the sadhus, the real sadhus. No one has ever known Krishna without that process. Because by obtaining the dust of the feet of the great souls, we can be in the proper consciousness to chant his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranjata. There's no other way in the age of Kali. This is confirmed in other in other ages, there were many different processes. But in Kali Yuga, no one is qualified for any other process. It is being explained here by Srila Suta Goswami that by humbly approaching saintly persons and learning the process of self-realization and purification by hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord, we can cent per cent guarantee receive immunity from the dreadful repetition of birth and death. This statement is the sum and substance of this entire material creation. This is a place where there is the dreadful repetition of birth and death. And yet we are trying to make our life very happy here. The Bhagavatam says this material existence is dreadful. Samsara dhava nalo niraloka tranaya karunaga naganatpa. This material existence is compared to a blazing fire. What is the nature of fire? At any moment, at the least expected time, anywhere, fire can come. Doesn't matter who you are or where you are. Fire is something that can destroy everything within seconds, anywhere, at any time. Such a beautiful house. But last night there was fire on the third floor. Everyone was nicely taking prasad, and all of a sudden, they heard fire. They went upstairs, and there was a fire. Somehow or other, by the mercy of Krishna, it was put out. There happened to be, it was right outside Krishna's room. So he supplied a fire extinguisher. But at the least expected moment, when they were taking prasad, before starting their meal, they weren't thinking, there will be a fire upstairs. It never crossed their minds, but the fire came. And in such a nice place, you do not expect. You expect maybe in some little shack on the side of the road, there might be a fire. But fire is everywhere, because the whole material existence is a blazing fire. And when you're in the midst of a fire, you can't wait. You have to immediately act. When they found out there was a fire, they didn't think, well, let's finish our prasad first. Why should we bother with this inconvenience? Let's have our nice meal, let's enjoy together, then we'll wash our mouths and we'll take some breath fresheners, and then we'll go up and put out this fire. When fire comes, you must act immediately, because every second means consummation. Things are being consumed, devoured, destroyed. So why the great acharyas and the scriptures compare this material world to a blazing fire? To tell us that the fire is already around us. Don't wait. Don't wait till you're 75 years old to put the fire out. But from the moment you are conceived in the womb of your mother, the fire of eternal time is already devouring your life. You're being burned. There's a blazing fire around you, around your family, around your home, around everything. And Krishna in the Gita, and Shukadeva Goswami in the Bhagavat, and all the great acharyas, they are telling us, you're in a blazing fire, put it out now. But we're thinking, let us finish our meal. Let us finish our other activities, our other responsibilities, then I'll deal with the fire. Now is the time. Now is the only time. Because death can come at any moment. And Krishna, in the form of time, does not discriminate whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're rich or poor. He doesn't even discriminate all the time whether you're old or young. He can turn the heat of that fire up at any moment. And actually, when fires become out of control, there is no power that any human being has to put it out. When a fire is still little small, there's some possibility. But when they grow big, all the armies of the whole world cannot put out a single fire. It is a fact. In America, there's a city called Chicago. In the middle of the 19th century, the second largest city of the most powerful country in the whole world, materially, the entire city burned to ashes. In the entire city, only one building remained. It was a water tower, so it didn't burn. And it's interesting how it burned. I have told the story before. For about 100 years, Chicago was famous for many things. For gangsters, for crime. But even more than that, because it had the biggest slaughterhouse in America. Now, how did the Great Chicago Fire start? One old lady, her name was Mrs. O'Leary. She had a cow in her barn, because in those days, Chicago was not such a built-up city. There were cows, not as many as the cities in India, but there were some cows. And she was milking the cow, or something, and she had a little lantern, fire light, and the cow kicked over the fire light. Cow went psht, and the light went on the grass and started a fire, and the whole city burned down. And all the fire brigades and all the armies and everybody, for days and days, they just stood there watching. What could they do? Krishna has a wonderful sense of humor. The city that was slaughtering the most cows, one little Mataji cow destroyed the whole city to revenge for the sins. And it's a fact. And recently, there were fires. I just received a letter from one of my dear friends in Malibu Beach, California. Malibu Beach is the most prestigious place. More prestigious than Beverly Hills, actually. Because Beverly Hills has become commercial. Most of the big millionaires, they would like to go to Malibu Beach. There's no poverty in Malibu Beach. You're not allowed to live in Malibu Beach
if you're poor.
Because the taxes are so intensely high just to keep anyone except really rich people from living there. And all the big movie stars and all the big rock and roll musicians and they all have their houses in Malibu Beach. But my friend explained that there was a fire in Malibu Beach just in the month of December or November of last year, and it destroyed over 100,000 acres of land and thousands of houses, millionaires' homes were burnt to the ground. And there was nothing anyone could do about it. Nothing. The most advanced state of the most advanced nation and the part of the state that has the most wealth, they couldn't, all they could do is just run for their lives and watch their property burn. It's the power of fire. And also, millions of acres of beautiful forests were burning last year. The biggest fires in the history of the nation. Millions of acres of trees and agricultural fields just burnt. And nobody could do anything but watch. This material existence is in a blazing fire. And there's only one person who can extinguish a blazing forest fire. That's Krishna. You cannot do it. Your politicians cannot do it for you. No one can do it. Ultimately, it is only Krishna that saves us. In Vrindavan, Krishna and his friends, the gopas, they were one evening sleeping on the bank of River Jamuna. And it was so nice because Jamuna is so clean and pure, transparent, with lotus flowers blooming at night, and the moon and the stars and the beautiful forest. They could have gone home, but they were just so charmed to see the wonderful scene that they just wanted to rest on the bank of Jamuna. And as they were relaxing and sleeping, taking their holiday, all of a sudden they all woke up and they were surrounded on all sides by a fire that was so high that it was reaching the sky. What were they to do? Start going like this. What can you do? They turned to Krishna. Because they were Brijbasis, they knew exactly what to do. Krishna, we are yours. And for Krishna, he did not run and get fire extinguishers. He did not call the fire department. What did he do? He told his friends, close your eyes. And they closed their eyes. He actually told them to put their hands over their eyes, so he knew for sure that their eyes were closed. And after they closed their eyes, Krishna, he just effortlessly went like this. He just breathed in for a second, and the entire fire went into his mouth and disappeared. Then he told them, now you open your eyes. And everything was so nice and charming and pleasant. Of course, we know why he told them to close their eyes. Because although Krishna is so powerful, that he can extinguish the entire fire of material existence around us within a second, within a moment. Queen Kunti prayed that you are feared by fear personified. All devouring death cannot stand before God out of fear. But yet, Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda. When she picks up her stick, he begins to weep and tremble and run away. And you know, on one occasion, Balaramji and the other gopas, they said to Mother Yashoda that today Krishna has done something very bad. He has eaten dirt. And Yashoda Mai, she said to Krishna, that this is not good. We have so many nice sweets and so many nice butter and yogurt and everything. I'll cook anything for you. Why are you eating dirt? In fact, Mother Yashoda, she was so concerned about this dirt-eating accusation that she would just spend so much incredible amounts of time cooking wonderful preparations. And she would select the very best cows and give their milk to better cows, and take their milk and give it to better cows, and take their milk and feed it to the best possible cow of all the 900,000 cows in all of Nanda Maharaj's herd. And from that cow, she would get butter, and she would make wonderful preparations for Krishna, just so that he would stop stealing butter from everyone else, and so that he wouldn't eat dirt. But anyways, she became so disturbed that it is not healthy for you to eat dirt because of her motherly affection. Let me look in your mouth to see you whether you have eaten dirt or not. Krishna said, no, I have not. Why would I eat dirt? What nonsense. You think I would eat dirt? Balaram says, you can think, but we saw. So he opened his mouth. She didn't just see a little dirt. She saw all the planets in the universe, and all the mountains, and all the rivers, and all the gods. And when Krishna, and she began to offer prayers in great reverence, that I am so foolish, I am thinking you are my son. You are the absolute truth. You are the supreme lord of all exists. And Krishna was receiving her prayers. But he was not so happy receiving her prayers. He would rather receive her chastisement. So he closed his mouth. And he smiled so charmingly that she just became so motherly loving toward him that she forgot all this universe and his greatness. But anyways, Krishna was thinking, Mother Yashoda was so disturbed when my friends told her that I ate a little dirt. How disturbed she will be if she finds out that I ate an entire forest fire. So better they close their eyes and not see. But the real message to this story that most applies to us is that Krishna is the only shelter. There are so many miseries in this world, generally categorized in three, Adi Atmataka, Adi Bhautaka, and Adi Daivaka, miseries caused by one's body and mind. Whoever you are, disease can strike at any moment. In Kali Yuga, there is cancer, there is AIDS, there is heart disease, heart attacks, strokes. At any minute, at the least expected moment, anyone Recently, I was with one very well-known spiritual leader. And he was telling me that the disciple who was meant, this person was very old, in his 80s, and he was grooming a particular disciple to be the next guru after him. And this person was a master of Hatha Yoga. He could do any of the asanas. And he was master at pranayama, and he was teaching it. And he had thousands of people learning these things from him. And one day, and he was only 43 years old, one day he just dropped dead of a heart attack instantly. Adivo. How are we going to protect ourselves? You cannot protect yourself in this world. Adiatmaka. And the miseries of the mind. At any moment, one thing goes wrong in your life and your whole mind is in complete agony, distress. It's a fact. Someone you love dies or cheats you. And what does it do? It ruins your life. And then there is Adi Bhotika, miseries caused by others. At any moment, a serpent, a mosquito, can cause you so much distress. One little mosquito can cause you malaria, elephantitis, so many things. And what to speak of all the cruelty and atrocities that people are inflicting upon one another? And then there is Adidaivaka, too much heat, too much cold, earthquakes, cyclones, droughts, floods. If an earthquake comes to this city of Bombay, what can you do about it? You have no time to escape. It's not that someone says, the earthquake's coming in 10 minutes, leave. It comes. Nobody knows. And you have not a second to escape. And if you're in the wrong place or the right place, depending on your consciousness, you're dead within seconds. In Latur, over 10,000 died within seconds. This is material existence. It's a blazing fire. And there's nothing within your power to save yourself. Therefore, we must know that turning to Krishna is not just a pious religious activity. It is the ultimate dire necessity in the emergency situation of our life. We're sitting here and we're hearing some of the philosophy from Srimad Bhagavatam. But how much are we actually benefiting? There are people who give narrations from Bhagavat Katha, Ramayan Katha, and tens and thousands of people sit to listen to them because they speak so nicely. It's enjoyable. It's entertaining. For people in the mode of goodness, it's entertainment. When they start speaking about the sad story of Ram and Sita, people weep and cry, tears flowing from their eyes. And when they hear the story of Ram fighting with Ravana, their hairs are standing on end. Are such people spiritually advanced? Perhaps. But if you go to the cinema house, when the hero dies, everyone in the cinema house is weeping. Streams of tears flowing from their eyes. And when there's some scary scene, everyone's hairs are standing on end, and they're just in great terror and fear. So one is in the mode of goodness and one is in the mode of passion. When does hearing the Shastra actually, when is it really on the transcendental platform? Not when you come to enjoy it, but when you come to take shelter of the sound of Krishna's name and pastimes and his message. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken to Maharaj Parikshit. And unless we develop to some extent the consciousness of Maharaj Parikshit, we are not qualified to really benefit by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. What was his consciousness? He was certain to die in 7 days. He was listening with urgency. He wasn't just going to a katha. And then before the katha, he was doing all of his sensory activities. And after the katha, he would go home and enjoy life at home. No. He went there as a matter of life or death. He left everything else behind. He understood that nothing else can save me except the vibration of Krishna's message and name. He didn't care to eat, he didn't care to sleep, he didn't care to go anywhere else. He was listening because he knew that it was a crisis, it was an emergency. He was seeking and longing for Krishna's shelter in every syllable spoken by Shukadev Goswami. This is how we must learn to hear. And the Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna himself to Arjuna. But when did he speak the Gita to Arjuna? Not when he just said, Krishna, I want to hear the nectar of some good spiritual instructions. He was really, truly fit to hear the Gita when he saw that his whole life was in a crisis. He didn't know what to do. It was an emergency. It was an emergency. There were millions of people lined up in a battlefield ready to kill each other. And he didn't even know which side to take or whether he should be a part of it at all. In that condition, with tears flowing from his eyes, he said, Krishna, please, I surrender to you. Please speak to me. What should I do? When we come to hear the message of the Lord, we should not come to enjoy it. We should come to learn what we should do in our life. And when we leave the katha, we should be determined to apply those things to our life. And if we don't have that determination, we didn't hear the message at all. After Maharaj Parikshit heard for 7 days the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the serpent came, the personification of death, he offered obeisances to it, and he said, yes, take me away, I'm ready. That was the result of his hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. He didn't run from that serpent. He said, Krishna is in the heart of that serpent. And it's his will. And Krishna, I'm ready to go anywhere you want to send me. Please let death come. And when Arjuna heard the Gita, he said, Krishna, I have heard what you said, and I'm ready to do anything you say. He was transformed. This is how we should hear. We can hear Krishna's Leela. We can hear Krishna's Rasa dance. And we could all smile and enjoy it. But have you heard it? When you are in the mood of Maharaj Parikshit, then you can hear it. And you can have some realization of it. But factually, when we're very advanced and we're already completely seeking shelter helplessly at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and their divine servants, at that time, the message of Krishna Katha is simply the flow of ambrosial, ecstatic nectar. But until we attain that stage, we have to have very good understanding that this material world is a dreadful place. It's on fire. It's a place where death and suffering to myself and everything that's dear to me can come at any moment. And the only thing that can save me from this blazing fire is Krishna, who's revealing himself through the sound vibration of his name and his glories. And the only persons from whom that divine sound vibration will ever manifest are from the lips of his sincere devotees. Unless one is surrendered to Krishna himself, whatever he speaks about Krishna will not give you Krishna. Krishna only agrees to appear from the mouth of his devotees. To the degree someone is surrendered and taking shelter of him, to that degree Krishna manifests through his words or through his chanting of the holy names. There are so many professional reciters. There are so many scholars. Srila Prabhupada's books have potency, unlimited potency. All the power of God himself are within every word of these books because he's a devotee who has surrendered his life to Krishna and who is simply repeating in that mood of surrender the ancient message of the disciplic succession of great souls. There was over 100 translations of the Gita in English, and not a single person who read a single one of them, and not a single translator of any of them, what to speak of the readers, ever came to the conclusion that I should become Krishna's devotee, that I should surrender. And millions of people were reading it. But because Guru Maharaj was such a devotee, carrying the sublime eternal message of the Gita, that one book transformed the lives of millions, and it will transform the lives of millions and millions of more for thousands of years. But if you really want to derive the true benefit from these words, whether you are reading them or whether you are hearing them from one of the representatives of such a great soul, to the proportion you realize that this material world is a miserable, dangerous place, and I must have Krishna's shelter now because everything around me is on fire. I can't wait. To that extent, the sound vibration of Krishna's names and glories will awaken realization, detachment, and bhakti, love and devotion. And that is what is required. And that is how we must learn to chant the holy name. Because the ultimate conclusion of all the scriptures is that in this age of Kali Yuga, there is simply no other way but the chanting of Krishna's name. All other yajnas, all other sacrifices can give you some material benefits. At the most, they can help you gain some powers or some peace of mind, but they cannot give you an approach to God, to Krishna. It is only through hearing and sincerely chanting the holy names. So this is the very essence of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. How to chant the holy name of the Lord, crying out for Krishna's mercy, the same way the Brijabasis cried out for Krishna's mercy when they were surrounded by that unquenchable, terrible fire. We must be convinced of the miseries of material life. And even if everything's all right, the miseries are imminent. You have to have that conviction before you can come to Krishna's name with the proper frame of mind. And when you realize how helpless you are before that great fire, you chant the name with humility. Trinadapi suniche na tarorapi sahishnana amani namana dena kirtaniya sadaha. That humility is born when we really, truly realize that there's nothing I can do. The hands of Krishna. He is my only shelter. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Fire is all around you. Chant the holy name. It's getting hotter and hotter at every moment. If you chant humble like a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and to expect none in return, knowing Krishna is our only hope and our only shelter. When you chant the holy name in that mood, then Krishna will, and then everything is very nice. Rio!
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 Today is the wedding anniversary of Sri Satyaprakash Kapoor and his good wife, Srimati Vidya Kapoor. And they have kindly invited us to this wonderful spiritual gathering in honor of their wedding anniversary. And because they are nice devotees of the Lord, and their children are nice devotees of the Lord, we can understand that such a wedding is very auspicious and worth celebrating by chanting the holy name of Krishna. So, we should all pray that Lord Krishna's blessings be upon them and their family. And we should invoke Krishna's blessings by very loudly and very joyfully chanting the holy names. And we should chant the holy names in a spirit of humility, knowing that the fire of material existence is all around us, and that only Krishna's name can give us shelter.